Podcast SEO. Yes, it is actually a thing. And in today's episode, we are talking to the one and only Kate Toon, and we talk about all things podcast SEO. What is it and why is it so important? We hear Kate's top SEO tips for each and every episode, as well as advice on naming your episode. We answer some listener questions, and we talk about probably the most asked question when it comes to podcast SEO and whether you should have a full transcript of your episode on your show notes. Welcome to Podcasting Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris, a show sharing quick, actionable tips, tricks, and advice to help you on your podcasting journey. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Podcasting Tips and Tricks. And unless you have been living under a rock or in a cave, my guest on today's show will be no stranger to you. Kate Toon is an SEO lover, a copywriter, speaker, author, hula hooper, and she helps business owners grapple the Google beast and build a better business. Kate not only has one podcast, but three, and over a staggering 500,000 downloads across these shows. So I'm so grateful to have her on the show today. And in fact, I personally want to say a massive thank you to Kate because we caught up in person a couple of months ago at a conference, and she was the one that gave me the final, I would say nudge, but I'm going to say kick in the butt to set a date for my podcast launch and to get it out there to the world. So more specifically, I had to shake on it in front of people and make a deal. So thank you for that, Kate. And also just wanted to congratulate you because today Kate was announced as the International Best Woman in SEO by SERPstats. What an amazing achievement. Congratulations, Kate.
Thank you so much and congratulations on the podcast. You've done it. We're here.
I have. So exciting. So we're going to talk today with Kate all about podcast SEO, and I'm going to jump straight in with questions because we do have questions from the group that I put into and obviously some generic questions on podcast SEO. So let's start with what is podcast SEO?
Well, I think people might understand what SEO is in terms of Google, search engine optimization. It's basically the art of making Google or other search engines like Yahoo and Bing fall in love with your website. You know, there's a number of things that Google wants us to do. They think there's about 200 or so of them. We need to tick those off, and then we have a chance of ranking for our chosen keywords. And if we're at the top of the rankings, we're going to get more traffic, and therefore we can get more conversions. So when it comes to podcasts, it's the same thing. I mean, a search engine is just something that has a little box that you type things into, a little algorithm that works out what your thing is and how it functions, and then a results page. So if you think about it, Google's a search engine, YouTube's a search engine, but iTunes is a search engine, Spotify is a search engine. You know, iTunes, we have the little box, the search box. We may be looking at new and notified or featured, but if we're really intent on finding a podcast on a topic we're interested in, most often we'll go to the search box and we'll type in a few words, and then iTunes will return us a podcast. And that's what we're aiming for with our podcast SEO.
Yeah, absolutely. You hear more and more about how Apple Podcasts is becoming a search engine in itself. So definitely something to take note of there. So why, I guess, is SEO important for podcasters?
Well, I think there's two different ways to look at it. First of all, you know, on iTunes, so much real estate is taken up with the new and noteworthy and the featured. And we know that they are not chosen in an algorithmic way. They are chosen by some creature at iTunes who, I don't know how we please this creature, but I don't know. So that for most of us, the only chance we have of doing well is that search box. But in the last few years, things have changed around podcasting as well. Obviously, we know it's really gaining momentum, but Google is really putting a lot of focus on it. So they announced earlier this year that podcasts will start showing up in the search results, and mine has started showing up, which is very interesting. So you can search for podcasts directly in the Google search results rather than having to go into Spotify or iTunes, which is huge because it means that that content is being treated in the same way blog posts are and pages are, which is fabulous. And I think as well, you know, there's an idea that Google is going to start actually being able to understand the audio, so that, you know, Google podcasts are already starting to transcribe the audio. So even if your episode title and your description aren't great, they're actually going to be able to pick keywords out about what you talk about on the pod. So that's a real statement that Google is saying that podcasts are an important piece of the content marketing mix. And I think they've been underestimated until now. But when Google puts a big thumbprint on them, we know that we have to take notice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, because Google and Spotify had a really big presence at Podcast Movement this year, which is obviously the biggest podcasting conference in the world, and probably had a bigger presence there than Apple Podcasts did, from what I've heard. And yeah, I think that whole element of them transcribing your podcast episode and then being able to use the search results to put your episode up. I did hear somewhere too speak about, I'm not sure how far in the future we're talking about this, but perhaps even when people do a voice search, the search result being part of your podcast episode in your voice rather than the search like Siri or Alexa's voice back at you.
So that's pretty exciting. And I think that's it. You know, we've got to think that the whole search world in itself is changing. So not just podcasts, but SEO in general. Now that we have people talking to Siri, talking to Google, talking to their home devices, asking questions like, you know, hey, how do I start a podcast? If that could pull through, you know, it gives you an option of maybe a video, a blog post, or a podcast to listen to. Whereas till now, it was always just an editorial return. You know, like if I'm on a listening device, if I'm on a mobile, reading something is not the best option for me. I'd much rather get audio. So yeah, I think the sky's the limit. But the problem is most people's podcast will never be found. And so podcast SEO is about making your podcast findable.
So on that note, what do you then think are some of the bigger problems then if you think that people's podcasts aren't going to be found?
Well, I think people start podcasts for different reasons, and you know this, you know, so maybe they started thinking, I want to be famous, or, you know, everyone else has got a podcast and I want one too. And then they get very excited about developing their branding, picking a cool microphone, trying not to make that noise when they're talking. And I think they totally ignore, you know, they come up with a fun name that they think is really funny, or, you know, or they use their own name because they want to be Pat Flynn or Chris Ducker or someone. And they don't really think about findability in the way that maybe they would for their website. You know, it's all about them and their ego and getting their, you know, them out there, not thinking about what the customer wants, what the customer will be searching for, what their ideal listener wants from them. So, and I think mainly people just think SEO is a Google thing, not an iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher thing. But as I said, they're all search engines, so the same things still apply.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. We've just got to change that mindset, don't we? And I know from the clients that I've worked with and just talking to podcasters over the last 3 years or so, even podcast SEO comes up, but it's not one of the main things that people are thinking about when they're launching their show. So it's so true. If we take a step back and consider that all as part of the strategy, then it can make a difference on how your show looks. Mm. Can you give us some of your SEO tips for podcasters? What should people be doing each and every episode?
Well, I mean, if you haven't started a podcast yet, yeah, then you're in a kind of good position because you can start the right way. It can be quite hard to kind of undo things once you've done them. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, obviously do Lindell's course. It's awesome. Really think about your audience, just as you would if you were going to make a new product or a new website. Who is your audience? And I'm not talking about like blanket demographics, like it's Clive. Clive is 45. He drives a Volvo. I'm thinking like, you know, what does Clive worry about? What are Clive's questions? What are Clive's preconceived beliefs, his desires, and most importantly, fears? Like what, most people don't want to look stupid. Most people want to feel intelligent. What questions does Clive need to ask you as a subject matter expert to feel intelligent? How can you empower him? What are his pain points? What's he really struggling with? You know, so if you're going to do a podcast about dentistry, you know, you're going to do a podcast for dentists. What are the pain points that dentists have? Is it getting new customers into their business? Is it finding great hygienists? Is it keeping up with the latest technology? How can you make their life easier. Because if you can become the person that solves their problems, they will know, like, and trust you. And that podcast will be listened to again and again. They'll become advocates for you. They'll leave you testimonials. They'll subscribe. They'll share your podcast. And all those metrics, subscriptions, as we know, are hugely powerful in terms of driving up your podcast in the rankings. It's not just the quantity of subscriptions. It's the velocity of subscriptions. So, you know, you need to, your podcast is not about you. It's about your audience. And I think that's the first thing that I would say. Do you agree?
I do. I do agree. And I love that idea of just taking, as you know, I've just signed up for your SEO course. So I've got lots to learn about SEO as far as websites and blog posts and Google and everything is concerned. But I love the idea of putting your audience first and their pain points and their questions and knowing what they ask all the time, or the conversations you have over and over again, and using that to understand what information is going to be more worthwhile for them.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, you know, your first three episodes and this episode, you're like, well, I think one of the things you get asked about quite often is podcast SEO. So, you know, like, we're solving a pain point right now. If you're listening, you should be feeling that pain ebbing away. And once you've done that exercise, then you really should be able to hone in on what's called a focus keyword. So when we're doing website SEO, we say every page, post and product is another ticket in the SEO lottery. But like on the back of that ticket, you need to kind of write the focus keyword you're going for before you toss it into the tombola. So if you could only pick one, or and a keyword can be a keyword phrase, it doesn't need to be a single word, but, you know, if you could only pick one or two words to describe your podcast, what would they be? So for mine, for example, I've got one about copywriting, so the keyword is copywriting, and I've got one about SEO, so the keyword is SEO. And you'd think that that's obvious, but there are so many podcasts that just, like, you know, Susan Chats with Bob, or the Hullabaloo podcast. And it's like, what is this about? You know, because the title, without doubt, is one of the most important aspects of podcast SEO. And so that leads me to my point number three. I jumped to point number three. Once you've thought about this focus keyword, and you can use the same kind of keyword tools that you would use for websites, like Ubersuggest, Keywords Everywhere, SEMrush, to look for keywords that have low competition and high traffic. But you've got to pick a phrase. You've got to be like, this is the focus of my podcast. And then that ideally needs to work into the title of your podcast. So we know that iTunes uses the title, a lot of emphasis on the title, as well as subscribes and reviews and things. The title needs to have the keyword in it, ideally. It needs to be compelling and interesting. It shouldn't be too obscure and non-intuitive, like, don't make me try and work out what it's about. I should get it. Clear language. Consider people whose English isn't their first language, like idiom and slang and acronyms. Not going to work. And if you really want to have a sort of playful podcast title, then you need to make sure your subtitle is working for you. Yeah. So I've got a terrible example here, but say you decided to call your podcast The Hairy Lump. Yeah. And now if you'll be like, what's that about? No one's typing hairy lump into the podcast search unless they're weird and they have a hairy lump. But then in your subtitle, you could say a podcast for hedgehog lovers, you know?
Yes,
and that would work. But, you know, you might be better off calling it like the Hedgehog Lovers Podcasts, you know, and then the subtitle can be more playful. So for mine, for example, I've got the Hot Copy Podcast, a copywriting podcast for copywriters. Look. It says copywriter about three times. It seems a bit keyword stuff. But the thing is as well, the Hot Copy Podcast is memorable and brandable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of the two. It's a subtle art, you know, but it's something worth thinking about. And one mistake I see a lot of new podcasters making, and again, this is the ego coming into play, is they start the podcast and they name it after themselves, but they aren't anybody yet. So, you know, it's the Bob Jones podcast, and it's like, who the hell's Bob Jones? And what are you talking about? Because I've never heard of you. You're not a subject matter expert yet. So better to start a podcast talking about the subject you talk about, and then maybe you can rebrand at some point. I don't know. But do you see what I mean? Like, so yes, many nobodies start a podcast named after themselves. But the only reason it works for people like Pat Flynn is that Pat Flynn had people when he did, you know what I mean? He built up brand equity. So don't go egotistical too early, would be my point.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because there are different ways that people choose how to name their shows, whether they go for that sort of quirky show title, or I agree with you, the subtitle, if you do go down that path, is so important. And it's so important also if you were to name your show after yourself. Like, I put my name in my show, but I let it be clear what the show was about. But if I called it the Lyndall Harris Show, people would be like, who? What is that?
And it's an evolution. Like, if there's an example, Stevie Says Social. So Stevie, she's got her name in it, but it's clear that it's about social. Someone like Tracy Harris, who's another social media kind of person, she's actually quite well known, but her podcast is called Mums with Hustle. Mm-hmm. She's built up that brand and then a sub brand of herself underneath. But she started with Mums with Hustle and then became known as... So it's an interesting thing to think about. And I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong way necessarily, but just think about what you're doing. Before you choose that, are you enough of a name that people are going to pop that into the search box? Because if they're not, they're going to find you for what you do rather than who you are. And that's such an important thing with SEO these days. So that was my number three tip. My number four tip is to think about structure. I think I might have five tips or six. I'm not sure. Think about structure. So many podcasts these days are just two random people chatting away about nonsense. And I've been on a few podcasts where they're like, I'm like, what's the focus for the episode? And they're like, oh, we'll work that out as we go. And it's like, that kind of works. But from an SEO point of view, it really doesn't. So, you know, we have decided for this podcast, it's podcast SEO. That's the focus. It's going to be clear in the title. It's going to be clear in the episode notes. It gives us a thread for the whole article. Imagine if Google is listening to this and transcribing it. We're saying the right words all the way through. We might pick up hedgehogs and hairy lumps, but we haven't said that as much as we've said SEO for podcasts. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So without the focus, it can become just a casual conversation, a meandering, non-focused thing, and that's not great for SEO.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there's a difference between taking or having the ability, if you're having a conversation with someone, to go down a different path if you're having that conversation, but just to have a structure. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast the other day that said they had one episode or one question that they asked at the very beginning. The answer changed the whole episode, and you should be able to have that ability to do that. But to have a structure that can bring it back on and be relevant for your listeners is really important.
Yeah, you don't want them not, unless you really have built up some great advocacy and people love your podcast and you have a lot of people coming back, you can't take that liberty with people's time. You can't let them not work out what the episode's about until 35 minutes in. You know, that's not appreciating your customer and putting your customer first. That's self-indulgent again. So my tip number four was create a website. So I know you had a number of questions around websites. Do I need to have one? Do I need a blog? Look, if you don't have a website, then of course you are just relying on your episode notes, your RSS feed, everything within the platform itself. Having a website kind of gives you double whammy, because not only can you come up on iTunes and Spotify and whatever, and come up by your podcast being threaded through the Google search results, you can get your blog posts being ranked as well and your website being ranked as well. So it just gives you more opportunity. So I think you don't need one, but if you're serious about SEO and the relationship with your listeners, because it's not all about SEO, having a blog, like, there's not much you can do on iTunes. You can't chat with people. You can't do comments. You can't really interact very well. But website, you can interact with people. They can leave comments. They can take another step. They can see your other services. You can maybe offer them something, get them on your email list, start having conversations with them, get suggestions from them about episodes. Of course, you could do that via social media as well. But, you know, I'm a big believer that we don't want to build our empires on someone else's land. The only thing we really control in our online marketing is our own website. And even then, if it's on Squarespace or something, they control it. But if we build everything on iTunes, what happens if iTunes just decides to get rid of your podcast one day? What do you do? Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't know what they're going to do next. So I think it's so important that you have that additional content and have a website.
Yeah, I do too. Particularly if you're talking about podcast for your business marketing activities, which I think the majority of the listeners of this show do have it for a small business, but if even for a passion project. But I think for small business, you definitely want to be driving it back to your website. And all the URL that I would suggest that people use is back to the website, which has all of the different directory buttons on it, so that people can choose if they want to listen through iTunes or Apple Podcasts and Google and what have you, but they can also listen to that embedded player on your website. And it's SEO all round is working better for you then, isn't it? Because they're sitting on your website and listening to it.
They're on your site. Yeah. So it's that engagement. And Google really, we do believe that Google looks at, you know, time on site, engagement, number of page views. So if you can get someone to listen to your podcast on your website, you are winning. Obviously, you don't have it installed there. It's on Libsyn or somewhere else. But so important. And I think, you know, even people who are starting a passion podcast, don't underestimate what can happen to that. I mean, look at My Dad Wrote a Porno. That started off as a silly podcast. Now they've got books, tours, all sorts of things. And they built that up through social media and their website. So, you know, it doesn't need to be amazing. Doesn't need to be the most beautiful designed website in the world. It can be pretty simple, but have a destination, have a hub where your brand can grow.
Yeah, definitely.
And my final tip, my final top SEO tip is really think about your RSS feed. So your RSS feed, for those who are new to podcasting, is what feeds, Linda can probably explain this better than me, syndicates your podcast out to iTunes, Google Play, other platforms. Yeah. So you load it up on something like Libsyn, or there's other ones that you can use. And then the RSS feed, whenever you put a new episode out, it just spits that out to the universe. And if you change the title of an episode or something, it will take a little while for it to re-spit out to the universe. And I've included a couple of tools that you can use, Cast Feed Validator and Podbar, to test your RSS feed and just make sure it's working. Because if it's not, the whole thing doesn't work. Yeah. So yeah, that would be my next.
That's right. And I'll include all of these in the show notes as well, the links for them and any other resources that Kate has mentioned. Yeah, the RSS feed, absolutely. It's so crucial, isn't it? Setting up and creating your podcast host, which, as Kate mentioned, Libsyn is one of them. Wooshka is another, Omni Studio, Podbean. There's just so many of them out there. But having, as Kate said, having the control of your RSS feed is so important. Then you just deal with the host, and obviously it pushes out to all those different directories that you've integrated. So that is they're great advice. Was there five or six tips there?
I don't know. There were so many. They were all so good.
They were awesome. Do you have any tips on naming the actual episodes?
Yeah, so I just made that slurp noise. Did you hear that? I made the slurp noise that I said not to make. See,
I just made a big arm, so we're doing well.
Yeah, there we go. We're leaving them in, though, because we're just normal. She might cut them out. Who knows? No,
let's leave them in.
I get a lot of episodes questions about naming episodes, and I think you need to use the same sensibility that you would use when you are thinking of a really good blog title that you want people to click through on. And you can use the same tools as well to write episode titles. So, you know, it needs to be descriptive. What are you talking about in this episode? Why should I listen? It needs to be front loaded. So what I mean by that is, you know, don't waste characters at the front saying episode one, colon, blah, blah, blah. You know, episode one, Lyndall Harris talks about, no, that's 20 or so characters gone on a mobile device. I won't even see the end of that. So I put the thing that you're talking about at the beginning. I don't think you really need to do episode numbers anymore, because Google, you might have some thoughts on that. Keep it short. Think about the cutoff point. It tends to vary between the platforms, but I wouldn't go much over 30 characters, including spaces. Make sure it's benefit driven. So don't just tell me the what you're talking about, but why it's going to help me as an individual. So, you know, SEO podcast tips to drive more listens. You know, it's not just SEO podcast tips. It's like, why do you need SEO podcast tips? Explain the feature and the advantage.
I might use that as the title for this.
Yeah, we'll come up with a good one. Make it a little bit clickbaity. So how you do that is often by using unusual words. So instead of just great SEO podcast tips to get more listens, you have that like unusual SEO podcast tips, or you know, SEO podcast tips that experts don't want you to know, you know, or 10 ways that you're ruining your podcast by not using SEO. Do you see what I mean? Like, play with those different things. Don't need to make it overly keyword saturated, so you wouldn't have SEO podcast, SEO podcast, SEO podcast. You make it unique, and just use standard headline techniques. So, you know, things that work really well are like numbers. You know, people like top tens, they're like number one or three simple. Think about how and why, because that's the sort of question that people are using in voice search. How do I improve my SEO on my podcast? Think about that. And also really think about, I've got a few examples as well that you can put in the episode notes, which is why we need a website, people. If you're doing an interview with someone, really think about what's more important, the person the interview is with or the subject matter that they're talking about. Because you may think the person you're talking to is the great I am, that other people might have never heard of them. So don't always think that the celebrity of the person is the thing that drives it. Generally, people don't care about the who, they care about the content. So even if you manage to, I see a lot of people getting super excited that get some big internet famous person on their podcast, but that person's probably been on hundreds of podcasts. It's the value of the content that they're sharing that really, really matters, in my opinion.
I put my name
at the end is what I'm saying.
I love it. That's really interesting because I was having a conversation with somebody the other day that was talking to me about the exact thing with the naming of the titles and putting the guest's name first and having a look at how they title things and always putting the guest's name first, which is something that I've not necessarily heard of. But then obviously as you talk about being front-loaded up the top when you said put the most important bits at the front, then yeah, I guess you just have to weigh up, is it the subject or the guest or working that out? And I totally agree with you on the point of episode numbers. We do not put the episode numbers in for Apple Podcasts anymore. They are actually starting to, well, they don't like it. So whether you use a host, you know, some hosts give you a different option for Apple's titles, such as Libsyn, whereas some of the other hosts, they don't give you a different option. It's just the one option. So Apple made the change, or it'd be a good maybe 6 months ago at least now, and they said just leave the episode numbers off, which I think a lot of podcasters don't love necessarily, because when you look at it in Apple Podcasts, the numbers are reversed and what have you, but you know, it gives you an opportunity to link to other episodes in your show notes and I sort of think
unless you've made Serial, they're not one after another. It doesn't matter, you know, like generally when I come to a new podcast, and I think this is interesting on the name. So if it's a really famous person, like the other day I was looking for Ricky Gervais podcast. So I typed Ricky Gervais into the search and I found all different podcasts with different people and I listened to all of them because it's Ricky Gervais. Yeah. But if it's for me, someone like me, no one's going to be looking for Kate Toon. They're going to be looking for SEO or something like that. So that's the difference. Yeah. Level of fame. That's what would make you help that decision. But also, you know, when I go to a podcast, I don't necessarily listen to the latest episode. I look down the list at one that interests me. And then again, I don't necessarily feel that I need to go through them consecutively unless they are a consecutive podcast, you know, unless there's a story being told. So the numbers thing is more, I think, about the podcast ego. Again, it's all so much about ego, you know, that, oh, these are my early ones. Don't listen to them because they're rubbish. These are my really good ones. But again, you don't know how people are going to digest your content and you can't force them to. So don't waste those characters on numbers.
It's so true, isn't it? You do go and look at the list of them and choose which ones are relevant, because otherwise, well, unless you're a big fan and want to listen to all of them.
Then you go right back to the beginning. Yeah, like I did that with Reply All. I loved a few. Then I went right back to the beginning and listened to every single one. But you know, when that happens, I'm beyond the numbers. I would kill for them. I love them so much.
You want to binge listen to everything and everything that they've done. That makes sense. So we're actually going to go back now to some questions that I asked in the Facebook group. I have an active, engaged Facebook group called the Australian Podcasters Collaborative. And I put in there that we were talking today and I did have some questions come back. We have condensed some of them down because a few of them were quite similar. But Cade has asked, do you need to have a blog to utilize SEO for your podcast? And how do you measure the effectiveness of your SEO copy?
So once again, I think we kind of covered this. I do think you do, because I do believe that the blog is going to help build your brand. It's going to show you as an expert. It's going to build your authority and trust. EAT, which is a big thing in SEO and digital marketing in general. You know, people buy from people that they know, like, and trust, and people recommend people that they know, like, and trust. How do you measure the effectiveness of your copy? Well, you know, if you've got a WordPress site, you can use tools like Yoast to look at whether you've optimized the page correctly. But then we jump into things like Google Analytics, and we want to be looking at stats like the time on page. You know, it takes usually about 3 minutes to read 600 to 700 words. So if you've got 600 to 700 words, are people spending 3 minutes on it? Are they commenting? You know, you're asking questions. Are they commenting? Are they sharing it? Do you have social media icons on the side of every episode that you print? Are they linking to it? And do they look at other pages within your site? You know, not just looking at one page, do they look at multiple pages? And then, you know, you're going to look at your, in Google Analytics, you can look at your referral sources. You know, where are people coming from? Are they coming from iTunes or Libsyn, or are they coming for the organic search? Are they coming from social? So there's lots of different ways to measure the effectiveness of your SEO copy from an analytical and a Google point of view. But I think from a human point of view, it's like, are people interacting with that comment? You know, are they with that content? Are they engaged? Are they spending time on the page? Are they clicking stuff? Are they sharing it? Those engagement signals, I think, really show that it's working.
Yeah, that's great advice. And he also asks, can you elaborate a little bit on how SEO for podcasts differs to traditional SEO for your blogs and your websites?
Well, it's just so much more basic. So like on a podcast, we really only have our title, our description, and the description isn't used by iTunes for ranking. So that's no good to us. So we've got our title, we've got our episode titles. You know, with Google Podcasts, we've maybe got our notes and hopefully our audio soon, but we just don't have much to play with on iTunes. Yeah, there's not much material. With your website, you've got everything. Yeah, you've got the site itself. You've got how fast your site is, you know, what theme you're using, what links you have pointing to your site. So what you may find, what I found when I started one of my podcasts, is that it was nowhere on iTunes because people were finding it from my website because I'd built up my website brand and then I drove them from my website to the podcast. Whereas we seem to a lot think about driving people from your podcast to your website. It's a circle and people will come in from different angles. On our website, SEO is a lot more complex, put it that way. So I could probably do a workshop on podcast SEO on its own in an hour. But for example, my SEO course that I've got is like 9 weeks and I still don't really cover everything. I think that's the comparison. It's simple. We don't have as much to play with. So you don't have as many excuses not to do it properly because you've only got a few little elements to play
people.
With.
We've been told. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love it. Another question is, how can SEO work for me if I don't have a website? I think you've covered some of that, but
yeah, I think we have. I mean, it's a choice. I would definitely say have a website. You're just not giving yourself many options, you know. It's a competitive place. We know how competitive it is, iTunes and Spotify. So why wouldn't you give yourself a little advantage? It's not a huge amount of work, although it kind of is. Now that you've started producing a podcast for yourself, the sheer horror of how long it takes to get the guest, do the episode, code the notes, do the graphics. So it's a lot of work, but gosh, it pays off. In the end,
well, I think it is. It absolutely is, and I'm so outsourcing that stuff. I am definitely getting my team to do that because I know it keeps me accountable.
You can outsourcing
as well.
to yourself, to your own. That's
absolutely to my own team.
Yeah, I love it.
Any SEO no-nos for your podcast?
Yeah, so in Apple Podcasts, we have something called the author tag. Don't keyword stuff that. So don't be the podcast is by Kate Toon, who's a copywriter who enjoys copywriting and copywriters. Don't do that. Just be Kate Toon. You might often even get a note from Apple saying that your tag isn't representative of you and your show. So don't do that. Keep it clean. On Google Play, your show descriptions, not the individual episode description, but the show, they are searchable. So optimize them for the listener. And really think about the swearing thing. You might know this better than me, but as far as I know, entire continents will be cut off to you if you use expletives. So India, for example, will not show any podcasts that show expletives. And, you know, that's a huge market for you, for your podcast of listeners, especially for me in SEO. Huge chunk of my listeners are in India. So I wouldn't risk throwing in swear words just to, you know, I don't think swearing is cool anyway, because, you know, maybe it is, but it doesn't come naturally to me. So just think about that. It's a decision. Yeah,
it is. And it's really interesting that you say that because it's not something that I have even really thought about from a client's perspective or from my own perspective. I tend not to swear when I'm talking in business world, but being banned from some of those markets for just having your episodes marked as explicit, and you have to have them marked as explicit if you swear in them, because if Apple comes across it and finds it and that you haven't marked it, then they get quite narky about that and they can sort of just drop your show. And I've had instances where, not necessarily on the swearing issue, but I've had instances where clients have come to me or people have come to me with asking, can I help? Because their show has been dropped from Apple Podcasts. Mm. So, you know, Google Podcasts and Spotify are definitely growing, but Apple Podcasts still has over 50% of the listenership. So you want to keep Apple happy in that respect. So it's just something really important to think about. Mm-hmm. Another question is, what should I include in my episode notes? And I get a lot of questions about this. I always talking to people about whether they should include a transcript. So I'm really interested to hear what you say about what should be included in the show notes.
So again, this assumes that you have a website, which I think is very important. So on my website, I have a category within my blog and the category is podcasts. This means that I can pull that category into my main nav. So if you go to the Recipe for SEO Success, you'll see I've got a blog and podcasts in my nav because I just linked to the category. So that's an important thing to understand. You can use your standard blog to do your show notes on. So for me, I have the episode name, an image with a picture of the person I'm interviewing on or just me. I have a brief outline of what you're going to get, which is generally the same as my introduction. So I don't like writing things twice. I'm lazy. So whatever I say in my introduction, I cut and paste it as my intro. So I do an episode description. I do show notes or key learnings. So maybe the 10 questions that I asked or the 10 things you're going to get from listening to the episode. Not many more than 10 though, mm-hmm. because if it's more than 10, it's like, oh, it's overwhelming. I like to include quotes. I make them into little memes using Canva, which gives me material to give to the episode guests to share on social. I include the guest's bio. I include links to any tools that were mentioned, links to the guest's social media and things like that. And then look, and sometimes checklists and worksheets. If I'm talking about something in particular and I want to do some kind of lead gen, I might say, hey, sign up to my email and you can get this checklist as well. With the transcript. So this is a controversial one. Getting transcripts, whether you use, Rev or Otter.io or whatever it's called. There's free ones. There's that maybe the quality isn't quite so great. You know, it's expensive. 40-minute episode on Rev, that's $40. And if this is a pleasure project or you're just starting out, that's a lot of money. I don't think you necessarily need a transcript. If you have all those other things I've mentioned, that's a lot for Google to chew through and enough for your audience to understand what it's about. But as your episode starts to go international, lots of people came to me when the Recipe for SEO Success started to do really well and said, please, can you include show notes? Because I can't understand what the hell you're saying. And I think I've got a really beautiful clipped English accent, but sometimes I get dead northern. And I had one guest on, Craig Campbell, who's Scottish, and he's really like, wait, when you do this, yours, you do this, and you do that, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I can't understand him, and I'm from there. And I remember getting it back from Rev, and it took like 3 days extra because they couldn't find anyone to actually understand what you'd said. So think about that. Not everyone listening to you speaks English as a first language. Some people like to read and listen. Some people like to digest your content without listening to your podcast. I know that sounds crazy, but lots of people read the episode notes without ever listening to the podcast. So it's a balance between money and time and effort. You don't need them. You just need some content for Google to chew through. So often I see, I'm slightly over answering this, but forgive me, it's important. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been on a few podcasts where you go to the page and it's just a picture and it's a one liner describing the podcast and then it's the podcast embedded in the page. That's not enough. Like, even if it's got the most descriptive episode title ever, tell me what I'm going to get from it at least. You're making me commit to half an hour of my life. Give me something. And, you know, I think anyone can commit to that, but you don't necessarily need a transcript for SEO purposes. I do it for that, but also for the pleasure of my listeners. You know, I do it as because my audience comes first, you know.
I think that's great. I think that's really good tip because it's more, I often have that question, is it better for SEO purposes? So I think you've answered that really well for the listeners because I agree with you. It's a real balance of the money to get it transcribed and the benefit, you know, weighing those two up. Because even if you go for the cheaper services, often you have to spend your time or pay a VA to sit and listen to it and check it, and then you're adding up the cost of it again.
I'm going to say something here. I never do that. So, you know, mm-hmm. when you get the transcript back and it says garbled conversation or could not hear, I leave that in because I'm like, this is a transcript. It's not meant to be perfect prose. You know, I've given you something. It's good enough. You know, like if you miss a few words in there, like if someone spelt their guest's name wrong, I'll do a quick scan, but I do not make it perfect. It's a transcript. There is an expectation about transcript. So take that pressure off yourself if you're doing that. No one's expecting that. It's just to help people who want to read or whose English isn't their first language and to give Google a bit of stuff. It doesn't need to be perfect, I think. So that's
fantastic. Fantastic. that there for me, that's a big that's a big tip that I'll be taking forward and saying to clients and people who ask that question, because yeah, it does. There's always questions about transcript and whether people should have it, but just offering it as another way to consume your content is it's excellent to do that as well. One other question we have, actually we've got another couple, but I'm just looking at the time we're going. So what other ways does podcasting benefit SEO?
I think if the content's good, you can go a bit longer, and hopefully this is. Look, podcasting for me has been huge in two different ways. One, it's my personal belief that you should not start a podcast until you've been a guest on someone else's at least 10 to 15 times, because then you learn how to talk and be confident, and you really, you know, you learn the whole process of being interviewed and being an interviewer. So that was great for me. Every time you appear on a podcast, you get a backlink, a link from their site to yours. So when Lyndall does her episode notes, she's going to link to katetoon.com. Great. I get a bit of SEO juice. Then also obviously you're shared across social media to their audience. That's great for your brand. And that means that people stop searching for SEO course or SEO copywriter and they start searching for Kate Toon. My name becomes a searchable term. In terms of my own podcasts, there is no other medium, I think, that builds such an intimate and lovely relationship with your customers. So I've had people come to me and say, I had someone at an event in Melbourne recently said, I've been listening to your podcast for 2 years. This is where I listen to it. They told me where they listen to it with their dog. They walk along the same route. They wait for the episodes. And when he met me, like he felt like he was meeting a celebrity, and I'm not a celebrity, but when you've listened to someone's voice for that long, either you're going to love them or you're going to hate them. We don't care about the haters. But those that love you, they're going to love you hard. Mm. And the other thing as well is if you have a podcast, it's kind of like being, you know, when you played basketball at school and you were the last one to be picked? Well, I was the last one to be picked. No, I wasn't. I was like third. It makes you the basketball picker because you get to pick your guests. I'm going to be very transparent here. The reason I started the Recipe for SEO Success was not for ego or for SEO. It was that I wanted to be able to talk to the brightest minds on the planet about SEO and ask them all the things I didn't know. And then I could pass on to my students. And I've got to speak to some amazing people. And that has led to other opportunities. So I interviewed Yoast, who runs an SEO plugin, I know. Then I got invited to speak in Holland at their conference, got to meet my heroes, and I've been invited to speak back again. So it leads to so many other things. I'm obsessed with podcasting, as you
can imagine. Well, you've got three of them, three amazing podcasts, but it's funny, a lot of people do start, and it is so good for that relationship building, because we can chat on Instagram or Facebook or Messenger or wherever, but to have the conversation and sit and talk to each other for an hour, absolutely. I mean, I'm learning stuff from this. There's no doubt about it, but it builds the relationship as well. And I think that's a really important part of why people also, do create podcasts, as well as building that each that you were talking about before with the expertise, authority and trust.
Yep.
I have a question from Amanda. Are there any differences between SEO for Spotify versus Apple Podcasts? I'm always trying to figure out what makes certain episodes really take off on Spotify and not others, and vice versa.
I mean, gosh, we knew the secret of virality. I don't know. I can't say, to be totally honest, that I know the exact differences between the two platforms. I agree with you. I read in a report that Libsyn said 70% of downloads still come from iTunes. So iTunes for me is the leader. For me, it's like the relationship between Google and Bing. Generally, what works for Google works for Bing. Generally, what works for iTunes works for Spotify. There will be some slight differences, but you need to be focusing on iTunes first. And who knows, how you've been popped into this flow, and I've listened to this episode and you come up as a suggested other episode and you just get lucky. It's crazy. So unfortunately I don't have a clear answer to that, but I would generally follow the rules for Apple, and I think you'll be all right for the other platforms.
Yeah. They certainly don't make it clear sometimes on all of the algorithms that they use. And Spotify is just really, they have invested a lot of money into podcasting this last 12 months. So we don't really know much yet, but be interesting to watch how that all grows. Well, that covers all of the questions that everybody in the group has asked. I have a couple of questions that I'm going to sort of do a quick fire on everyone who comes on the show. And I've got two questions because I really want to know, is there, firstly, what do you wish you had known when you started podcasting?
That I did not need to fill the space that there's a big problem people have with saying amateur, and I listened to a great podcast by Sean D'Souza where he says, you know, umming and erring is your brain buffering. Your brain is trying to find the thing that it was trying to say. So instead of saying amateur, just pause. Give yourself pause. You can edit, but also a little bit of silence, a little gap in the podcast isn't the worst thing. It's like white space in graphic design. So just pausing a little bit gives your mind time to catch up, and you find that you stop saying amateur so much. And I've really noticed it. I can recognize the shape of my I've removed so many from podcasts, but now I don't quite so much.
Well, that's an interesting one. It's the one that I know that I will be able to improve on because I do a bit, so I'll have to remember the brain buffering thing. What is your best general tip about podcasting?
Okay, I've got two. I'm going to do two really quickly. I know we're going over, but they're good, okay? So my first one is don't start with the music. So many podcasts start with the music, and it's because it's a funky tune, yeah, and you picked it on iStock and you love it. But another tip I picked up from Omar Zenom, and I found like I'm really name-dropping. I don't know any of these people. I just listen to their podcasts and pretend that I know them. But he was like, just try and do a little two-minute intro to the show at the beginning and go like, you know, hey, this is Kate Toon. This is a recipe for SEO success. In this episode, I'm going to tell you the three reasons you need to blah, blah, blah. So if you want to learn that stuff, get ready, listen now. Then the music, then reintroduce yourself again. Because often I will listen. I'm trying to find a new podcast and someone's recommended it. I've only got a couple of minutes. It's like landing on someone's webpage. You've got 10 seconds to suck them in, tell them who you are, what you do, and why you do it better than anyone else. Same applies to podcasts. Don't make me sit and listen to 2 minutes of iStock rock music before you start talking. It's annoying. And then my other tip is really focus on subscriptions. Yeah, you have to, at the end of every episode, ask people to subscribe. You have to find social media methods to make people subscribe. Subscriptions are definitely part of the ranking algorithm. And that's why often when a show first starts, it goes right up at the rankings because there's a high velocity of subscriptions when shows first start. Mm-hmm. And then they drop out completely because you stopped asking for people for reviews and subscriptions. Reviews, we don't think are part of the algorithm, but they are very powerful in terms of click-through. So a podcast that's got 70 stars and reviews is going to get more listens than one that's got 5. And it still amazes me that some of the most popular podcasts out there, you know, like go and have a look at This American Life and Reply All and what, they don't have as many reviews as you'd think they would have, you know? So ask. You don't ask, you don't get.
Oh, so true. You really need to ask. Thank you so much for your time, Kate. If people want to, I mean, Kate, you've got so many resources on SEO that would help podcasters, that would help for your website and everything. So if people do want to find out more, where's the best place for them to come and find out more about you?
Well, you can head straight to Google and type in Kate Toon and you'll probably find something to do with me. And on my core website, katetoon.com, you'll find links to all my various bits and bobs.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and thank you very much for being my first guest.
Woohoo! Save the best till first or something. Anyway,
absolutely. Lovely. Kick off with a good one.
Yes, brilliant. Thanks so much, Lyndall, and good luck with the pod.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe in your podcatcher so you don't miss an episode. And whilst you're there, I'd love it if you'd leave me a rating and review to help other podcasters.